Welcome, everybody, officially. Though we chat a little bit in the beginning, now we begin our Sunday blessing. And welcome to everyone, wherever you may be, all over the world. And we know that people do reach around the world to find us. We have some wonderful things to be grateful for today. We've got some great blessings to ask for today. And as always, I would like to start with our community. We are being recorded, so anyone who misses this can check in later and find out what was said, or just listen to what happens. Stephen, I see you're on, and I cleared your line.
Okay. Hi, Glenda. Thanks for taking my call, and this is Stephen Adler, and I'm just calling to request a blessing, in this case for myself. I have a herniated disc in my mid-back, and it's given me a lot of pain. And so just if you could put my name on the list, I would deeply appreciate it. And much
absolutely.
Love.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. Many blessings to you. Much love to you and Larry. Thank you.
How is the rest of your life going? Is it all right?
Yeah, I mean, the rest of my life, I'm blessed and grateful for everything in my life, for sure. Thank you for asking. And, I think I mentioned on a previous call that a lot of things had come up recently with my sister and I, and just past,
yes,
it looked like childhood traumas, and I've just been doing, reaching out to her as much as I can in the mm-hmm. most kind way ever, and doing a lot of prayer work. I don't want to get into too much detail around all that, but, if you're more interested, I'm happy to take that offline.
I'm so glad. And I remembered mentioning about your sister and other friends. So I just wanted to say that I'm going to put them all on my prayer list. All right.
Thank you. Thank you. And my good friend, of course, Shane, and his lovely wife, Vanessa, who they're, of course, facing the challenge with cancer. And so keep them as well. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you for everything you do, Glenda. I love you. And thank you so much.
You're so welcome. We love you, too. And we send our blessings to you along with our prayers. So, we've got a pretty good audience on today. Looks like I was the last one here. Okay. I think Stormy is on. Is that you, Stormy?
Yes, Glenda. You've seen me on the Q&A, haven't you? I've been there. I just pressed 2 because I wasn't asking a question.
Okay.
I didn't know if I showed up or not.
Well, actually, you will now, because I'm putting your name in with your number. When you're not on the queue and we don't know, have your name associated with it, then I really don't know who's on the call. That's a blessing. In some ways, that's a blessing because, actually, anyone, we were actually told in the, by Jesus in the scriptures, ask your Father in private, and he will answer you in public. And so, it's okay if you don't, any of you, if you don't feel like coming on the call. It's great to hear from you. We love to because it opens up our community to more visibility, more participation, and more people get to see how many blessings are actually happening. It builds faith, it builds confidence, and it builds community. So it's great when you do, but it's okay when you don't. But I just wanted to say we missed you, Stormy.
And I've said before there are times when I'll be quiet because I'm listening.
Okay.
And people have had a lot to say, and I've just been listening, but I have a special blessing for you, Glenda, today.
Oh, thank you.
I have seen you well into your 90s, speaking before a lot of people, but I always see you with a cane. My blessing request is that I no longer see you with a cane that you have to use to walk from here to there. That's a blessing for the future.
Oh, thank you, Stormy.
I just thought of that
thank
today.
Thank you, Stormy.
We can change the future by putting in a request today, now, that I no longer see you. You're not in great pain, but you're in your 90s and speaking in front of people, but you have to have a cane to get from here to there. And I went,
I probably just
no,
don't want to fall down on stage.
I don't want to see her with a cane. Let's just not go there.
I'll go with you.
Blessing request.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Stormy. I really appreciate that. I really do. Someone did a DNA reading of me years ago, actually when I was a child. Before DNA was a science, they were just telepathically, I suppose, or intuitively reading for my DNA, and said that I would live to be 104. Later on, a completely different individual did the same reading, that I would live to be 104. So I take that to be a rather strong confirmation. And I would like to think it's without a cane.
Yeah, I mean, so, I've seen it because I've seen so much of you from high school on that I just don't want to. I says, well, we don't have to go there. We don't.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Stormy. I will hold that in my heart with you. I'm going to open the line for some. We've got several people on. Susan, I just opened your line.
Hi, Glenda. It's Susan. How are you?
I'm okay.
So I have a cousin who, actually, he was cured from a cancer that reoccurred, and he's kind of depressed, and he's going to have to go through a major, like, secondary round of chemo and then stem cell, you know, whatever they do for stem cell. And so I just, his name is Richard, and I'm concerned about his mental being in addition to, you know, physical. So I want to put him on the list. And I also, for myself, I, you know, am in need, if I want to do a corneal transplant. And I was referred to, you know, a good doctor, but I'm nervous about, I mean, I'm going to go for the consultation, although I haven't called yet for that, and I will. But I'm just hopeful that mm-hmm. if I decide to go forward with it, that it's, you know, that it's the right decision and that the outcome will be good. So put in a little prayer for me as well. And
well, actually, what I would suggest is do not go forward until you know it's the right decision. Because when we enter procedures that are that major with uncertainty, that uncertainty can transfer to our body as an uncertainty of healing. So do whatever, don't enter it with doubt at all, but do whatever research or consultation you need to do, prayer work, meditation, just sit with it and know when it's right. When you know it's right, then you will heal quickly and it will be successful.
Okay. I'll go forward with the consultation, though. That I'll do. And then I'm going to sit for a while before I feel totally confident that that's the right thing to do.
Good. That's the right approach.
Thanks.
Well, we'll hold you in our hearts and our blessing and know that God will be with you and give you instruction.
Thanks, Glenda. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Tony, hi. You're on.
Hello. Hi, Glenda. I'm here with Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Hi.
There's a full moon today, and it's exact, like right now, like right during the call, the exact time.
Really?
I think
wow.
Within an hour. Yeah, it's sometime. So the exact will be like within an hour to 2 hours I was looking at it a little bit ago, but it's pretty close. I mean, when you're that close, you definitely think it's less than 1 degree right now to exact. So that I think is very fortunate, the timing, and it's stressful. We have a stressful aspect because it's a square with Pluto, exactly same degree. And so Pluto and Saturn are in stress with this full moon. However, we have Jupiter trining. So that's graceful and confident. So the way I would speak what I get from this is grace and confidence in the midst of challenging circumstances.
Oh, good. Good. I'm so glad to hear that. I am so glad to hear that.
Well, and we can definitely.
What signs are Pluto and Saturn in?
Pluto and Saturn are in Capricorn, and that's where they will
in Capricorn.
Yeah, that's where they're going to have.
Are they conjunct?
Pretty much. I mean, they're within about 6 degrees, which is pretty close, and so now they're closing on their exact conjunction, which is in early January. So it's going to become more tight between now and when it's exact. And it'll be physically very exact because Saturn and Pluto are both right by the orbit of the Earth, and they're basically lined up, both of them lined up with their autumnal south node. So it's just like the fall equinox for us with the sun. Saturn and Pluto are both, which is very rare, they're both at their crossing point. They're like their autumnal equinox point in their orbit. So that's interesting because that shows us that they're connected with the South Node, which is old patterns, old trends, things that are resolving, things that are healing, things that are passing, you know, out of our experience, and also the benefit of past experience. Yeah.
Wow. That's big. That's major.
It is. It is. So that's really especially strong for today in particular. But the influence of that graceful helpfulness, that will kind of resonate through at least the rest of this moon cycle. So we have another 2 weeks of this moon cycle. So we'll have that because it hit exactly with the Jupiter trine. We've got that, and then we've got a wedding. Our middle child is getting married next Saturday. Yeah, so our daughter Chelsea, so we want to send her a blessing, Chelsea and Josh, for them and everybody who's traveling.
Right.
Yeah, thank you. So everybody, you know, will be connected with the wedding and with the family and everybody will be there and our new extended family on Josh's side.
How sweet. Oh, I just love when families come together for weddings. It's such a sweet time.
Yeah.
Well, many blessings to you and Judy and your whole family.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And to you. And to you and your family as well.
Thank you very much. Elizabeth, I'm going to open your line. Hello.
Yes, thank you, Glenda. I called you last week and mentioned that I got Love Without End, finally. And I started to read it, and my eyes were very, very blurry. So I had to stop. I went faster, and I need a blessing, a really big blessing, because I want to read the book, but he says I've got glaucoma.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, yes, we will. We will pray that as you put your eyes on the book, the energy will reflect back on them and heal them.
Thank you. That's a wonderful blessing. The book is sitting here. I look at it, and I try to read it, but it's too much of a strain. So I thought, well, I'll give you a call and ask everybody for some loving help. Thank you so much.
Okay. Wonderful. And you have it. Especially from the author of the book.
Oh, yes. I got your little notice in the front of the book. I appreciate that, too.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm so glad you finally got it.
yes. Thank
all right, I'm going to open the line for Joanna. Hello.
Hello, this is Joanna, and thank you for taking my call. I have a friend, he's in his 40s, I think he's 45. He's had diabetes his whole life and suffered so much, just on the edge of coma all the time. And he's now been diagnosed with cancer that is around the heart and lungs. And I would like to have some prayers going his name. His name is toward him. His name is Tommy, and his mother's last name is Tommy, and his mother's last name is Turner. But I have a feeling he has a different last name, but I don't know it. And I'd like that Chris and Willie Turner as well. They're the parents of Tommy.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been so brave his whole life, but this is just really very, very difficult for him, painful, etc.
I'm so, so, so sorry. Well, my prayers, my sympathy is with the whole family, and our blessings are for him.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I'd like to just send a blessing today for all the caregivers in the world. Those who take care of others. They are God's special saints on this earth. And through their lives, God works to reach those who need help. So I know that it's very draining. It takes time from their life. It causes their life to be identified by the lives of those they serve, which is a lovely thing in a way. But also, I know they need time to just heal for themselves and be in their own personal caring. So, I would like to send a blessing for all the caregivers and the human caregivers, but also the animal caregivers and those who care for our earth. All of those who are in the open arms of giving love and support to those who need it. You are the special saints among us, and I just want to offer my blessing in a very special way, because it will not only help them, it will come back to all of us. As those who care for us are strengthened, their care will be more intelligently directed and more powerfully directed and more divinely directed. So we ask that in the special name of Christ for all of them, because we know how important their work is. Is there anyone else wanting to come on the queue? Right now the queue is empty, and that's an unusual thing on our call. So I will just I'll just talk a little bit until somebody comes on. Oh, well, here we are. Hi, Eva. You're on. Your call is open.
Hi, this is Eva. Last evening, another friend and I went to see a mutual friend who lost her husband rather recently. She's in her early 90s, and this friend of mine asked me if I would like to go to see her. She's not home a lot because her children are concerned about her and don't like her to be alone because they know she's frightened. But she happened to be home last evening, and we went to visit her. And she is really in a lot of distress, and very surprisingly opened up to us about why she is distressed in her home. And she is seeing all kinds of beings that come to her at night, which just frightened her. She says her husband Herbie comes, and he brings others with him sometimes, and they're grotesque beings, and she just gets terribly frightened, and she doesn't know how to, you know, handle it, and doesn't talk to a lot of people about it, but apparently she has talked to her family, and I think they think she's going crazy or something. And I try to explain to her that, no, I don't think she's going crazy. There are things like this around us, and talk to her about the world of spirits, and yet that we can handle those. And I did a blessing in her house. I also suggested she light candles, which she had a lot of them around but wasn't lighting them.
Mm-hmm.
So we lit some candles, and we talked for a long time. And before we left, I did a blessing for her and asked if she would like to be put on the blessing call. And she said,
okay.
Yes. This is the new for her, but her name is Hazel. Hazel.
What's that?
Hazel. H-A-Z-E-L. Hazel.
Oh. All right. I've got it.
H-A-Z-E-L.
Yes.
Hazel Rosen.
I have some comments about this that I think will be interesting and helpful to our community. So I'm going to take the floor now and just talk for about 4 minutes before we start our blessing. Eva, that was a really, really good invitation for me to come online and talk about something that we all will face in our life. We will all face the loss of a loved one.
Yes.
And you've been going through that yourself. And you've been doing a really heroic and loving, lovely job of how you.
Yes, well, my husband left me with a lot of peace, which was very surprising to me, but it's just amazing. And I'm thankful.
Yes.
I mean, after speaking to her particularly, I thought, here's somebody that doesn't have that kind of a hope. and
he left you with some loving children. So you have been blessed in a particular way. Eva,
yes.
I'm going to mute the call because there's some background noise there, and I will just take the floor right now. We are all going to lose something. It may be people we dearly love, or it might be something we feel is essential to our life that we love. I had a friend when I was young who was on his way to being a concert pianist. He lost his right arm in an automobile accident. Took him years of grieving to get over that. And I want to discuss some of the processes we all need to go through and we all need to accept. And also something to mention that would pertain very much to Hazel. When we lose something we love, it leaves holes in the spiritual cocoon around us. You know, we all bring into this world not only ourself, but the energy that belongs to our life work, the energy that we will use for attracting others, loving others, being with others, and the others share energy with us as they connect. And so there's a bright energy field around all of us, which we protect with a thin cocoon of, it's kind of like an iridescent shield, sort of like the wing of a dragonfly. And when something or someone we love goes, there are holes left. One of the ways I think of it is, when I was younger, I used to put pancakes. I loved pancakes. And I especially loved the thin ones that would have bubbles. And so as the bubbles would burst, they would leave little holes in the pancakes. And so you would scoop them out and those holes would still be there. But I loved it in the pancakes because it would soak up the syrup in the little holes. And it was great. But when we lose something or someone, there are those kinds of holes left in the sphere of our being, and those holes can get filled with a lot of things that don't necessarily mean anything significant except perhaps our anxiety or our grief or our guilt that maybe, well, could I have done something to prevent this? Or what did I not show enough love when I was with this person? These holes get filled up with stuff. It's kind of like you drive on a muddy road and the the treads in your tires get filled up with mud. Well, those holes get filled up with just about everything. And it takes a while to heal. Now, this is why the grieving process for most people goes through some very distinct stages. Now, Eva, in a way, was an exception because she prepared for this for years. And she did everything out of love in her heart for her beloved. Along with her family, they did everything, and they were all prepared for this when it happened. Now, pretty much the same with my beloved mother. She died at 93, which was a very long, long life considering all the physical challenges that she went through. And she went through with family around her and caregivers that just loved her, and she loved her life, and nobody felt bad, nobody felt guilty, nobody felt, actually we were happy for her. And we knew that she was happy because the first thing she did is she went straight to heaven and picked up the gardening shears. So we know the gardens of heaven are even more beautiful with her in it. So I don't think anyone shed a tear at her funeral. We were, she wanted to be buried with her gardening hat on and her gardening tools in the casket with her. I mean, literally that was her request, in her gardening dress. So we just walked up to him and we said, "Hi, Alma, I see you're at work. Okay, go for it." You know, it's like we had this spirit of loving encouragement for her to keep going, doing everything she loved the most. So for us, it was not a struggle. But the typical stages of grief that we have to honor in most cases, and it's important, the first is denial. Especially if it was a sudden, unexpected death. Words like, "I can't believe this happened. It was so sudden. He or she or it didn't deserve that. How could this possibly happen? Why did God let this happen? This can't be real. It's just, I just can't see it as being real. Surely I'll wake up tomorrow and find it was a bad dream." All the things that you could associate with denial. And you'll go with that for a while because it's a way of pushing it back until the initial pain can subside a little bit. And then the first wave of tears and grief will come in. These are the waves of grief we feel at the wake or the funeral or in the immediate days thereafter. And then we kind of go numb. We try to get on with life. We say, you know, I can't look at this anymore. For a while, we put away the pictures. We'll say, I'm going to make an album later. I'm going to put a gallery up on the wall later. I'm going to make a journal later. But for now, I've got to get on with my life. We go see the doctor. We get a massage, or we go to some grief counseling, and we try to do the get on with life sort of thing. And again, that's part of the healing process. It's kind of like you had major surgery, so you're going to get a surgical bandage put over it. And that surgical bandage, that dressing you're going to get put over it, is going to be there for a while so that some deep, deep healing can occur. And one of these days, maybe a few weeks, a few months, or maybe even a couple of years will go by. And that surgical bandage will get removed. What removes it will be something you experience that you shared with the one you lost. It might be a symphony. It might be a place you go to vacation. It might mean meeting up with a brother and sister you haven't seen for 15 years. It could be any of a number of things that catches you by surprise, and it rips the bandage off. And all of a sudden, there's this, oh my God. Oh my God. I am so angry. Anger is the last major, or next to the last major grieving point. That's when you can really face the loss. Whether it was the loss of a vision, whether it was the loss of a dream, the loss of your beloved, the loss of a parent or a child. Like, this was not supposed to happen. God, you betrayed me. I'm so mad. I'm so mad. And you actually beat the wall. You scream, you beat the wall. And it's really, really important, because when you hit the deepest level of hurt, it's going to be like you got bludgeoned and you're going to hit back. After you can do that, you will have a deep well of tears that will cleanse it all, and it will be done. You'll never, ever stop loving what you lost. But now you can get the album out. You can put the pictures in. You can put the gallery on the wall. You can walk by every day and blow kisses on it. You know the healing has happened. And I think this is really, really important for us to understand, because it's not just people we lose. Sometimes we grieve over the loss of our youth, when we didn't get to do everything we wanted to do. Let's just say we hit the age of 40 and we didn't have children and we wanted children so bad. Let's just say we hit the age of 40 and we really wanted to have this athletic accomplishment. Not going to have it now, you know. And we push it aside. We don't want to think about it. But it's important to look at these stages of grieving. It's important to actually eventually get mad, because otherwise that anger will become a thorn that's infested inside us. After that, we can grieve and watch the Olympics. Then we can have our favorite Olympic star that we cheer on to glory. You know, the thing is, it's okay to live our life through other people once we have really, really purged what we didn't do, what we wanted to do, and really let go of it. We're not going to do everything in one life that you could ever dream of doing. One life is just not long enough. But the thing is, my friends, we live millions of lives simultaneously through other people. And we have to let go of what we couldn't do first person so that we can do it second person, third person, fourth person, and all of humanity. And when we can get to that stage, we're really actually living like we've never lived before. And that's what I get to do every Sunday. I get to give blessings to all the people who really need to get through all of these stages, who need to get on with living their life to the fullest. Maybe not first person. Maybe not even second person, because maybe the one they love the most is also gone. But there are others, third, fourth, fifth, and all of us. We love you. There's so many people who will love you that you can love in return. You can be part of the bigger picture of love. And when we can be part of the biggest picture of love, there is no end to the blessings we can receive. There is no end to the good we can serve. There is no end to the charity we can offer. There is no end to how grateful we can be to God that all things are made possible for us. We just get hung up in this first person drama. And that's why I made a point of describing the grieving process. Because most of the time in my counseling, I have found that people are hung up in themselves, either for one of two reasons, some misunderstanding between the self and the ego, and that's a bad one, but once you break the clay jar on that one, you're free. Okay. But the real hard one is being stuck inside because of something you lost. And often something you lost as a child, and you don't even have all the memories of it, but still your body and your soul and your spirit remembers, and you still have to go through this process to get yourself free, to move on and be the larger person that you are. It's very possible that Yeshua's resurrection actually was his resurrection as all of us. Because after the resurrection, he traveled to visit every tribe and race of man all over the world. After that, he appeared in every racial form and color and language to be seen by people in their own form and language. So is it possible that his resurrection was the resurrection of every one of us, that we are waiting to fulfill when we get to the point where we can accept that in ourselves? I think that's a really good question to leave you with as we go into the blessing today. So the cue is clear. I would just like each one of you to relax and take a deep breath. Slow, long, deep breath. Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention. I see she's not on the call, so perhaps not feeling so well yet, but our beloved Nancy Freeborg had her surgery this week. And according to all reports, she's doing great. And I imagine she's a little bit sore. So thanks for letting me know, Gary. And she's in my blessing every day, and I'm putting her on the blessing today. Okay, now we go forward. All of us just being as one in our heart, relaxed. Let your attention sink into your heart, out of your mind, because your mind separates you from everybody else and everything else. That's its job. One of the reasons we live in separation, because we stay in our mind. It's the job of our mind to solve our individual problems. True. And your mind will make judgments, and it will polarize, and it will determine what's wrong with this so I can fix it, what's wrong with that so I can fix that. It's always there looking at what's wrong so it can fix it. We praise it for what it does. But when it comes to receiving the blessings of God, put it on a park bench. Just let it alone, leave it alone, and tell it to take a nap. You're here with your Heavenly Father, and we are here with the love of Christ and the Holy Spirit to receive the blessings that will be bestowed upon us as love through the energy of love. Each one who ask for a blessing will be honored, and each one that was put on our list will be honored, and also the rest of all humanity, by extension, are honored. Now, I will open with a prayer to Yeshua. When I'm finished, you begin your prayer from your heart. Dear Yeshua, we thank you that you have given your life to be joined to us in all of our lives, and that through your unity with us, you guide us, you heal us, you nurture us, you correct us when we're wrong or steer us on the right path, you bring us to glory and to success, you comfort us in ways beyond our knowing. And today, on this special day, we come to be with you and seek your blessing specifically for those troubles we have and for those we care about so much. We surrender to your love, to the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Blessing givers, let us begin. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, complete your receiving by going to rest, lie down, and just be one with God. Be a sponge for divine blessing, divine love, and support, and peace. I look forward to being with you again next week and wish you all the blessings of life. Bye-bye for now.